God, drawn by your love and mercy and grace. Again, Father, you desire to feed us with your word, and we know that faith comes by hearing that word, and we know that we please you by our faith, the faith that moves, a faith that acts, a faith that endures and believes all things, whatever is happening. And Lord, we thank you for our fellowship, our gathering tonight. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that seals this meeting, and over the connection and all saints that will come in to listen to this word. Father, we ask that we would hear every jot and tittle of this word. Let none of it fall by the wayside, but that it would be spiritually productive for the glory of your name. And so we commit our time before you now, Father, and I pray that we, all of us, would be mindful of you now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' wonderful name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'd like to exhort you tonight in something that's not new to us, but I think we do need to be reminded over certain principles in God's word. And tonight we're calling our teaching Understanding Our Errors. Understanding or being sensitive to our errors. And God is so in control of your life and my life that he permits and allows us to go through things, which is a means of cleansing us, is a means of working in us so that we don't make these mistakes again. But not only that, it's also a means of changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh, because whatever is in our heart, we will express. We will be wherever our hearts are. And we're here tonight with this meeting because God has worked in our hearts a desire to be here and to hear his word. And so we can take courage, can't we, that God is working with us and putting these godly affections within us, but we still do have these areas where we find that our heart leads us somewhere else. Those affections lead us somewhere else other than pleasing God or being in God's will or going out of that protection or the will of God. But even he's still in control of all of that. And this is what is so wonderful as we open up this word, that God is the only one I know who can work with the negative in your life and my life and bring it about to the positive. That's why we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his mercy and grace. How God does this? Well, he is indeed a miracle working God. And so we're going to look this evening at understanding our errors. And God wants us to be sensitive. He wants us to know these areas still in our lives where he's cleansing us, delivering us, and bringing us to that place and consecration that we have in him. I want us to turn to Psalm 19, and we're going to be looking at verses 12 to 14 of Psalm 19. I expect most of you know this. You've probably got it underlined, but we're going to look at this to see what God is saying with regard to this. And he says here, who can understand his errors? And this is why I'm calling this teaching tonight, Understanding Our Errors. So who can understand his errors with a question mark? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. For those of us who are truly saved, cleansed by the blood of Jesus and made a new creation, we start to become very sensitive and aware that sin can so easily, temporarily, block our relationship with Almighty God. And this is why it is important to keep close with the Lord and to walk with him. And whenever we have fallen short of the standard, that we come before him, we never leave anything, or we decide that we may deal with my shortcomings the next day or next week. We are ever aware, sensitive, mindful that whatever has happened, we need dialogue with God. We need to talk it out with him. And these things are very, very important. And I'm always encouraging you to always be in communication, in prayer, seeking God also in your closet, spending that time always in communication with God, because this is the means of us being kept cleansed and clean. This also helps us to continue to learn and become sensitive to errors, to things that we may do or are displeasing to God. Now, there are ways in which the Holy Spirit, he works this in and through us, and the ultimate aim and finish is all the same for all of us, but he works with us in different ways because our lives are different, our personalities and characters are different, our backgrounds are different, and so on. But the end result is all the same. And it's wonderful how God knows every one of us. He knows us infinitely more than we even know ourselves. And what is so amazing, and at times can be strange, that God even knows the errors or maybe sin that we might commit. He knows, he sees the future. Yet he never judges us according to that. He never tries to divert his plan that he has predestined for each of us because he sees certain sins. And he'll decide and think, oh, well, I better change course for that daughter or for that son because I can see what's coming up. God never thinks or even works that way. He is totally sovereign. What he has decreed and purposed for each of us doesn't change one jot or tittle. And yet he will work and mold and bring everything to that standard that is acceptable and pleasing in his sight. And that includes our shortcomings, our failures, yes, our sin, our unbelief, all those things that, yes, at times we even battle with. He's in complete control. And this is why the psalmist says here, cleanse me from secret faults. Because he's asking that question, who can understand his errors? So he's aware, he has great insight to his weaknesses. He has great insight that it is only God who can inspire, who can strengthen, who can lead me, keep me on that straight and narrow path. So he's in dialogue. He's not running away from sin. He's not running away from shortcomings. He's not running away from his giants that he faces. The trouble is with so many professing Christians today, they're all running away from these giants, which is of course what Israel did, didn't they, when they heard the report after the spies came back from the land. They ran away. We know that they ran away from it because their confession confessed it. That fear, unbelief came out. I am convinced that the deeper life teaching and the faith that we're receiving is so that we can confess that positive confession against our weaknesses, our shortcomings, sin. Yes, those giants, in other words, that oppose. So much of the deeper life is training us not to run away. Because he's teaching us there is nowhere else to run to. And we all at times have deceived ourselves thinking it'll be easier if I take that route or if I do this or that or whatever it would be. And we know that we come back again. God brings us back after a journey and there we face Almighty God again. And then we deal with those shortcomings. We deal with those areas where in the past we've run away from. That is what we need to understand. We need to understand these errors, these shortcomings, these weaknesses, so that in our weakness, God makes us strong. The Apostle Paul never ran away from his weaknesses. And he was not ashamed to confess those weaknesses, his weakness in the flesh, his weakness in meeting and preaching and facing the obstacles. Because he saw that in that weakness, that was his very strength to overcome in everything. And this is what God is training us for. This is what he's trying to get from our heads to our hearts, so that this is the very means and way of us overcoming and enduring to the end. You see, in our weaknesses, Satan is so vocal. In our weaknesses, he tries to condemn us, that we will not make it in, or you are not the Christian that you say you are, or you have a double life, you're one thing at church and another thing at home and so on. And there probably can be truth to that, but there isn't in God's economy. It isn't in God's word. God says differently over you and I. And I remind you again, as I do so often, he made no mistake in your salvation. He made no mistake in calling you from the foundation of the world. And this is why we need to really hold on to this. Because otherwise we are going to run away when we fall short of the standard of the walk that God has predestined us for. How God brings us to these places, how he works these deliverances, how he changes our hearts, how he puts these godly affections and this love for his word and his presence, I do not know. But all I know is he does it. because he's a miracle-working God. And if he doesn't do this, we don't have even such meetings like this tonight, because none of us have any chance. And so the psalmist says here, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sin. See, God has to open our eyes to everything. But first, he opens our eyes to his word. And that is always what he will do if you are truly born again of the Spirit. For us to understand, he's going to open his word to us. Because we need to be taught. We have a mind and an intellect that God has given to us. And so our minds have to be renewed. Our minds have to be taught God's word so that we can start to understand what it is he's doing with us. The word of God, in many ways, our learning of God's word is so that we learn how God delivers us, how he saves us, how he heals us, how he brings us home to glory. All of these things are fundamentally what we're learning about the word of God. That's why all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And we have myriads of promises in his word from Genesis to Revelation, which we can read and hold on to and pray about and claim them for our lives. They're all there. They're for all of us, to those who believe. And we know it is on the basis of faith that we receive from him, because we're told that without faith it is impossible to please God. And even God is working with our faith. As he's got us here tonight, what is he doing? He's working with our faith. He's encouraging our faith to believe, to embrace for greater things, to move further and deeper with God. To not look to those giants that try and oppose us. Those giants of unbelief or weaknesses or whatever that they would be. Yes, Satan's very vocal. And he's always trying to tell you what you can't do, what you can't achieve in the Lord. That gives it away, brothers and sisters. And as we go on with God, we're going to find more and more, we're not so much listening to him anymore. And that is our deliverance. Sadly, so many of our brothers and sisters listen more to the enemy than they do to the voice of God and the word of God. But the overcomers that God is raising up in the last day, those that are destined for the throne of God, will no longer listen to this. They will listen to God's report, whatever the circumstances, however I feel, whatever my day has been, or I've really blown it this day, good and proper, doesn't matter. Come before the Lord. Come into his presence. Let the word of God cleanse you and wash you and restore you. God's nature is always to restore us, to keep us in his presence. God's nature in everything that he does with us is always redemptive, as we hear so often, don't we, in our teachings. That's the nature of his heart. And so by our faith we appropriate everything. And let's look at some scriptures on this. Psalm 51, verses 1 to 2. We're looking at the Psalms tonight because they have a much on this. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. This again is the nature of God. This is the nature of the blood of the Lamb that's ever cleansing, ever working with us, keeping us clean, pure, spotless, holy in his presence. Don't try and work this out, brothers and sisters. Just let God do what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And yes, it is a miracle how God can work that in your life and my life, but that's what he says he does and he's doing. How do we know he's doing this? Well, I'll tell you, give you one reason. He's brought you into this place, into this room tonight. So there's a clear sign of his cleansing hand over our life to encourage and help us. How about Psalm 26 and verse 2? Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. So here we see the emphasis tonight is us asking God to examine me, try me. Father, you know what is there. You know those things within me that lie there, even things maybe I'm not fully aware of. God likes that, and I wish more believers would mean business with God in this way, because there wouldn't be the errors, the problems that can so often be in the house of God. There's nothing wrong with this. This is so healthy. It's a sign to Almighty God and to the powers of darkness that you mean business with him with regard to walking uprightly and overcoming in all those areas. We note back in Psalm 119, as we turn just back to this, in verse 13, he says, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Now, the idea here to cleanse, the idea in Hebrew is fundamentally to separate, to cut off, to make a separation. And we get, of course, the idea of this in which Israel, she didn't very often desire to be separated, to be cut off. In other words, in many times she was deliberate in her sin. She didn't want God's ways. She didn't want to do the Lord's ways. She didn't want to allow the power of God, the Spirit of God, to work in her heart, to separate her from idolatry and those things that were around her. And of course we know this by her failure of entering into the promised land. We know that most of them perished in the wilderness. It was a deliberate act. And this is where we get the idea of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, or we call these presumptuous sins. In other words, what it is to be defiant. And those that blaspheme the Holy Spirit, and God forbid, but they are those who are absolutely defiant. They don't want to do it God's ways. They don't want his ways. They want to call themselves Christians, but they don't wish to walk the ways of the Lord. That's the defiance. And that was the sin that cut Israel off and eventually destroyed Israel, and they perished in the wilderness. And this is where we get the idea in the New Testament of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It's a defiance. It's knowing the light. It's knowing really what is true, but nevertheless, I don't wish to do it, and I'm not going to do it. Now, that is what God is delivering you and I from. That is why he works with us. that we will not make those sins that our forefathers did, those that perished, but that we would be open. And this is why the psalmist here is saying, search me. Who can understand my errors? Cleanse me from these secret faults. In other words, Lord, whatever it takes, I don't want to deliberately go against you. I don't want to deliberately sin, knowing the truth that I have. I fear that. Cleanse me from that. Search me. See what is in my heart. Yes, I may fall short. You know my weaknesses. But I don't wish to be defiant against you. And God forbid that I should ever blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing wrong of having the fear of God with regard to that. That is actually healthy. And if we love the Lord, even in our weaknesses or our sin, something within us is going to cry out that he will work with us and that he will deliver us, that we will never fall to those lengths that sadly Israel did. We ask the same, don't we, in the Lord's Prayer. Keep me from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation. Here again is this idea. Keep me from these things. Keep me from blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Keep me, Lord, from being defiant or deliberately choosing to disobey you. Keep me from that. Lead me not into these temptations, but help me to find that way of escape. You know, if we mean business with God with that, and we're honest with him, God is going to move heaven and earth to preserve and keep you. And this will be a tremendous confidence, a building up of faith that will enable you to be able to walk in that consecration that God has for each of us. It is a means of authority, of anointing being placed over your life. The saints of old walked with that authority. We're told that Jesus walked with authority and anointing. It's because he knew of this. And God wants us to know of this. And it's a means of making us strong. Because when you have asked God to do these things in your life, and you mean business in what you're saying here, what more can you say? What more can you do? You have asked the all-searching, seeing eye of Almighty God to search every crook and cranny and fiber and area of your life and heart. What more can you do? You can't. What more can you do when Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, when you put you, yourself, on the altar? There's nothing more than you can do. You've done everything you know to do. And that is a means of great peace, confidence in your life. That means God's presence is with you. The fullness of the Godhead is with you. What an anchoring. What a confidence. That's what builds us up in the faith and the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. He wants that for every one of us, not just for ministers that you see or for men that stand behind pulpits. That's where so often it's associated with. We are all called as a royal priesthood. You too, as well. This is why we believe so much in body ministry, that all in the body of Christ function according to their gifts and abilities that God has given them. And so the Lord's Prayer is, keep me from the evil one and lead us not into temptation. You see, the psalmist asks that it doesn't have dominion over me. He doesn't have control over me. I don't want to be controlled by sin, weaknesses. And yet, sadly, we probably still are. We still see these traits coming up. We can look back and see over seasons that the same old thing still keeps raising its ugly head. This is the very thing that God is delivering us from, that he doesn't have dominion over me anymore, control. And thank God that it doesn't, because if it does have dominion over you and I, then we're lost. But that's what he's delivered us from, and that's the good news of the gospel, is it not? You see, the nature of strongholds is it keeps us double-minded. That's its problem. When you see Christians that are still double-minded and wrestling over the word of God and having problems and up and down, it's a sign that there's still a control of sin. And with sin, it's always unbelief. When we're not believing, that is the sign of it. This is why we make so much about faith, and this is why we keep saying that as you hear the word of God, so you come to that place of faith, and that place of faith is fundamentally that sin doesn't continue to control and hold you. See, God knows what he's doing. What does it say in Psalm 119, verse 113? Psalm 119 and verse 113. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. Do you hate being double-minded? Well, if you love Jesus, of course you do. Because people who are double-minded are fundamentally useless. They sit on the fence. And so many people sit on the fence because they're double-minded, they're not sure, they don't really know what they want. You have to decide what you want, and you settle it with God. You see, God can ultimately get us to stand blameless before him. And that's what he's doing. As the bride's making herself ready, which she's doing, because that's the work of the Holy Spirit now with the remnant, what he's fundamentally doing, he's bringing her to a place of consecration where she's blameless before him. That's ultimately what he's working. Now going back to Psalm 19 again, we'll look at verse 14. So he says, let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So the word with the heart have to work in order for it to be acceptable. So your heart this evening in listening to this word has to work with what you're hearing if it's to be acceptable before Almighty God. This is why I often keep saying, pray before you come to a meeting. Be in prayer before you hear the word, so that your heart is prepared to receive the word of God, so that it will be acceptable in the Lord's sight. Why do I say this? Because we have to agree with God's word. Yes, it may have your name and address on it, and often it does, but we have to be in prayer so that we are agreeable. We are accepting the word of God so that he can do that work in my life and my heart. Some of us at times go through the motions of listening to the word. Oh, it's another meeting and, you know, probably another teaching on faith or whatever. And that can be our attitude sometimes. But my praying for the word, my praying for that anointed word into my life and for my brother and sister is absolutely paramount. As I've said before, and I'll say again, the word that we're taught here in this assembly, we go as far as you are prepared to pray and intercede for it. So the responsibility is also on each of you, not just on me because I'm a mouthpiece. I simply can speak what I'm saying today is because you have taken the effort to pray and intercede for this anointed word. It's not just left to the minister to do it all and to pray for it all and so on. We're all in this together. That is what body ministry is about. So that it may be acceptable in the Lord's sight. So that we all agree with God's word. And with regard to sin in what we're dealing with in this place. You see, the problem is we don't often sometimes agree. We want to divert, or we don't always want to listen. We're not always, or I'm not always, in agreement with regard to God's word about sin. How do I know this? Because of the shortcomings still in my life. The areas that God is still dealing with me. For example, I may be a person that really likes to seek attention. Ascension, attention seeker. And there are a lot of people sadly like that. Because they're insecure. But if you have that problem, that's telling you that God wants to deal with you. That He wants you to face this and not run away from it. Or people have a problem where they're always spending money. It doesn't matter. They've got an addiction of just buying, buying, buying. It doesn't matter what it is. They've got to buy something. Again, these are areas that God wants you to face and to bring before Him. And to get deliverances, because they're hindrances, they're trying to take our mind and attention away to those areas that God is dealing with our lives, to those giants that we're still running away from. You'll be amazed how God will hone in into the most minutest and things of your life. Small things sometimes He'll start to hone into. And to show that He needs to cleanse you and deliver you from. And He'll do that. Many people who have eating problems, eating disorders, this is a false comfort. Again, many Christians are victim to this. And God is trying to get their attention to deliver them so that they, of course, can have a healthier life. A lot of Christians are still addicted to TV. It's a means of just switching off because I can't face these giants. I can't face these areas in my life. I can't face this sinning that goes on and so on. So we turn to other means. It's like, just give me a break. And I know I've been through it. We all go through it. But thank God in His love and mercy, He's got a way of getting our attention. And how we get delivered from these things is to bring them before Him. This is why I'm always saying, and I'll say it again, be totally, utterly, completely honest before God. Bring it all out before Him. He knows that dirty washing, and He knows it has need of cleaning. Bring the lot out. Hide nothing. Satan wants to keep you still hid in areas of sin and weakness in your life. Defy it. Don't play his game. God has provided through Christ the cleansing blood of the Lamb to cleanse and deliver each one of us. Because otherwise it means I don't really have enough faith in the blood that was shed at Calvary to deal with all sin and weakness. This is why I keep saying you have to come back to the blood of the Lamb. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and love not our lives unto death. That is our overcoming. There are many, many things that God is delivering us from. We still at times want to listen to worldly music. Well, I'm not saying you can't listen to worldly music, but the problem is we just lose interest in these things of the world. They don't have any hold anymore to us. Or we still want wrong company. We still want our old friends where we can have a good laugh or go out and have a good night and so on. Eventually you're going to find that one evening you're with them and you're going to suddenly see, I've got nothing in common with these people anymore. And the reason being is because they don't love Jesus. They don't want to talk about Jesus like I do. And yet these are still problems. There are many, many vices that still hold us. But God is wanting to get us free from these things. And he will do. He will do. If you allow him in. But you see, the psalmist comes back to the source. God, who is our strength and our redeemer. And what is a redeemer? A redeemer means one who has purchased our freedom from slavery and sin. And that is the one that we come back to. He has purchased your slavery, your bondage, your sin, everything that you were held and fettered by, including myself. He has purchased that at Calvary, at the cross, through the blood of the Lamb. Return to the cross. Do not lose sight of the cross. It starts at the cross and it ends at the cross. And sadly, many of our brothers and sisters and many preachers are losing sight of the cross. It is the source of our message. It is the gospel. We lose sight of that and we move further and further into our shortcomings and into sin and compromise and error. The blood of the Lamb cleanses our minds and our hearts and our spirits. And as I close, it is not wrong for you to understand your errors. It's not wrong to cleanse you from your secret faults, to keep you back from sin. These are the very things that God wants you to ask of him. These are the very things which you read. When you read these things, when you read these things out of the Word of God and they speak to you, change it into a prayer. Turn it to God and say, Lord, I've read this here. I've read this psalm tonight. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. I've just read that, Father. Here it is. This is my prayer. That's what I want in my life. That's what I want you to do. This is how we grow in the Word of God, when what you read in the Word of God, you talk to God about. Ask him if you don't understand what you're reading, and he'll enlighten you. He's given you the Holy Spirit, the teacher, the greatest teacher you'll ever have in your life. He wants to communicate to each one of us much, much more when we read his word, because his word is alive as Jesus is alive. Don't just read it as some mere mental exercise or just some book or like reading a novel. Every time when you open the Word of God up and you read it, this is God speaking to me today. And as he speaks to me, I may well have the opportunity of speaking back to him about what he's speaking to me about. Whether I understand it or I don't understand it, or whether it's got my name and address on or it hasn't. Or I need to know about how to pray about a situation. There are so many, many, many ways in which God speaks to us through his word into our life and our situation. This is how you grow. This is how faith comes, by hearing, reading the Word of God. Don't be turned off in your heart, your emotions, from reading the Word of God. Let your life and heart be open. If it needs be, just pray first before you read this word, so that when you open up the word and you read it, that is life being imparted to you. That is you being cleansed. That is your Heavenly Father speaking to you personally, or showing you how to pray about a situation, or to pray for a brother or sister and whatever. This is why some Christians have got bored with the Word of God. I've read it all before. I've read from Genesis to Revelation. That's not what the Word of God is about. This is why this book is absolutely unique. It is utterly different from any other book ever written. It is breathed out to us by the Holy Spirit. It's to impart life to us. I can only speak tonight by the Holy Spirit, by what I've read by these scriptures. As I've read these scriptures, so they've been imparted to me, the interpretation of it, so that I can share what this word is saying. This is how we grow by the Word of God. And this is what pleases God. And this is how, where our faith comes, so that our faith can believe against all odds. Because that's what faith is to do. As we've said so many times, faith is like a muscle, and muscles have to be used as they wither up. So your faith has to continue to be challenged. This is why it always seems that you've always got another obstacle in front of you. You no sooner get over one, and you have another obstacle, or a bigger mountain than the last one. Faith needs that. That has been deliberately put there by the sovereign will of God for you and I to overcome. There's no mountain before you that cannot be overcome, because God has permitted it to be there for a purpose and a reason. So you could settle it just on that. And of course we're going to say to ourselves, well, this is impossible. There's no way I can overcome this. There's no way this mountain can be removed. That's exactly why God has got it there. The point is, are you going to let that confession be so, or are you going to continue to say, well, there's no way I can do it, but God will move this? That is the point. And God has moved mountains in your lives. I know that because I've heard it, I've seen it, I've heard your testimonies. And he will continue to do that. And sometimes continual sin in your life is like a mountain. It just doesn't seem to change. I can't get free, or whatever it is. God's got it there for a reason. And as I always say, as I finish now, the picture is always bigger. Whatever mountain you have to get over and triumph, however big that mountain appears or looks, I can tell you the picture that is attached to that mountain is even bigger. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, again tonight we thank you for your encouragement to us. Thank you, Father, for exhorting us in your word. Lord, when we feel weak and we're down, despondent, wondering what it's all about, there you are to encourage us and help us. Lord, we know that many times in our walk as a Christian, it's between you and God. And Lord, sometimes we're looking for other people just for that support or help. But Lord, many times it's between you and God, and your grace is sufficient. And you strengthen us, Father, in the inner man. You enable us to be able to overcome this day and all the trials and all that we face. Father, help us to glean from the word that we've heard tonight. Help us to apply it, to live it. Help us to approach your living word in a new and fresh way, that it's alive to us every time we open the pages and we read, because we're led by the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to turn it into prayer. Help us to turn it into a discussion, into asking. Lord, I believe that you want us to ask much more than we do. You're there to speak to us, to show us these things if we want it. Father, we thank you that the blood of the Lamb cleanses us and continues to cleanse us and keeps us in a right standing before you. Because without that, we are all lost. There's no hope. And Father, you are working within each of us that we do not sin in a defiant way, in a deliberate way. That all of us have a touch of the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. That we would all be kept, delivered from ever blaspheming the Holy Spirit. God forbid. But Lord, you love us so much that you will do that. Even in our shortcomings and even in our weaknesses. Father, we thank you that you have made no mistake over each of us. We all of us were there in your heart when you hung on that cross. You spoke over each one of us, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You had me and all my brothers and sisters in your heart when you said those words. And because of that, that is why we're here tonight in fellowship, hearing this word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for bringing my brothers and sisters into the room tonight. Be with them, bless them, preserve them, keep them always. Give your traveling mercies over them. Let them be a light in this world of darkness. And I pray above all that their faith will fail not. For this we ask now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.